Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
That's right.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80.
Let's see how many times Yates put in, our producer put in, let's ride at the end of it. Let's ride, let's ride. How long it take you to do that, Yates?
Jerry did that. You got to ask him, but it probably ain't take too long.
Let's ride.
Key, you were talking earlier in the show how you hear this, you think about, even if it's a preseason game, but it's on a Monday night. It gives you a certain feeling still anyway, even though it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. You come out that tunnel. You run around. You come out that tunnel. You get your nice jog or two around the field before you start, tossing the ball, stretching. And they're playing this. And on the field, you got the broadcast team. They walking in the middle of the field, acting cool with their suits on, trying to talk to you, get information. And this is playing in the background. And it's crisp. It's clear skies. Oh, it's just, you can smell it, especially when we used to play it in Tampa, because in Monday Night Football, the weather's just perfect, right? 75 degrees, no humidity, and you're getting ready to smash the team you're playing against. You just know it, because you're better than them.
Even as a fan, as a spectator, so much of our lives, like the demarcation of time, with families, generations, fathers, sons, mothers, daughters, whoever, it centers around sporting events. There's something about it that, especially when part of the demarcation is the changing of the season, you start to feel like fall is coming and football season means back to school, back to work. There's nothing like it.
I mean, yeah, I used to have an interesting – I had an interesting preparation of my games because it's just the way that I always did things. I set it up, man, to the point where – my family would come to the games, ride in with me or whatever. They go up to the box. I might go up to the box and hang out with them until the very last minute that I need to go to the locker room. And I just would sit up at top and just watch over everybody warming up or whatever they're doing, just because I didn't want to be down there and being bothered until such due time that I needed to be.
But see, Key, like for me, preseason, and I get it from the fans' perspective, like Max just described, the fact that football season is on the verge, the fall. From the veteran perspective, look, I've been here before. You even said it in the opening, like the fake lifting weights, right? Like you're getting yourself prepared because you understand the real ass grind of the season and when you need to turn that on and what the process is. But for me, I go back to the youngins, man. Like the young fellas, like the Drake Londons, the Garrett Wilsons, the Chris Olaves, the Jameson Williams from Alabama, right? Like that first moment where you get a chance to kind of feel it, where you're on the field, you hear the crowd, you're going through that, you're trying to figure out what your new ritual is, like as you lead into it, and everybody else tries to minimize it. But for you, man, it's that moment where it feels like, yeah, I got drafted, I'm here, and I've been to training camps and the grind, but it is that moment where it's like you have arrived. And I know it's different than the first game, but that's in the progression to get to the first game. It's a cool moment for the young fellas.
No, it's cool. It took a minute for me to get to my first game because when I was drafted by the Jets, I held out, and I missed basically all the preseason. So it took, the Denver Bronco game, which we got blitzed in Denver, first game of the year. So it took a minute for me to actually feel like I was in the NFL. I didn't feel like I was in the NFL until I got Parcells as a coach. Otherwise, it was like a ham and egg operation.
What was First of all, the holdout should have made you feel immediately like you were in the NFL.
Hold on, Cam. I'm curious. When was that? Did you have a moment during that first game where you like, because it happens. You get drafted. I'm like, yo, I'm in the NBA. Like you're practicing. Like, yo, I'm in the league. I can do what I want. I got this lifestyle. It's pretty cool. But there was a moment for me as a player. I remember one of the first games, like going against AI, where I was like, that dude just blew by me. And I was like, yo, hold on, man. Like, AI is literally a $180 soaking wet. Like, I thought he was going to be like 190 maybe. Like, I gave it more than what it was, but I was like, yo, this dude's way faster than me. And I'm faster than everybody I thought on the court. Like, was there a moment for you on the field where you're like, yo, I have arrived. I'm in it.
Probably not, to be honest so with you, Jay. Probably not. I didn't really look at it from that point of view, I guess, because I practice 100 miles an hour. So I kind of went up against the Aaron Glenns and the Otis Smiths, veteran players that knew how to play. And I did what I needed to do against those guys. So I felt good about the competition because it was going to be much easier. First time I touched the ball my rookie year, it went 50. First time I touched it against the Denver Broncos. First time I ever touched it, went 50. So I was already feeling a certain way. And we were a bad coached football team. You know, the next year, those same players, we go to AFC Championship game with Bill Parcells as the coach. So we just knew we had talent, but we had a bad situation with Richie Kotite as our coach.
A lot of that has to
that's
do
what
with the
same man.
What so kind you of gotta, situation are you born into as an
Trevor Lawrence,
NFL
player? For example, Urban Meyer, like, yo, this is my first. This is welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, and the thing is no matter who you are at these positions, especially at the quarterback position, it's very vital that you are in the right situation with the right circumstances surrounded around you, so you can be competitive and you can do all the things that you did once upon a time prior to coming into the NFL. And so even a guy like Lamar Jackson, so to speak, you look at where Lamar Jackson is in his career in the Baltimore Ravens. If Lamar Jackson was drafted anywhere else with any other team, we wouldn't see Lamar Jackson as we see him today, because it takes a special organization and special people like Ozzie Newsome to recognize this is what we can do with this individual and win a lot of games and ultimately win a Super Bowl. But we've got to be able to design stuff around him to take full advantage of his talents and not try to make him something that he's not. And I think that's where you see Lamar Jackson now. If somebody else would have drafted him and, for instance, just said, oh, we're going to draft him, Max, and we're going to give him a shot at playing quarterback. We're going to take him in the third round. He would have never gotten a real opportunity to play the position. And we would have been saying, see, this is why he should have been playing DB the whole time. But the Baltimore Ravens didn't do that.
But don't you think there are some people, Key, like, and maybe Lamar fits into this category. I hear what you're saying for most. Aren't there some people whose talent will not be denied? Like, who could overcome those circumstances? It's like, even if they're drafted in the third round, like, when they get the opportunity, they take it and run. You know,
There is. Mm-hmm. But there's a strong belief from me. Mm-hmm. And this is just me. Maybe I don't know it. When you're not in a situation, in an environment for you to succeed, they're not going to put you in that.
1,000%, man.
Okay? If they don't believe in you coming in, they're never going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And they're not going to put all their eggs into your basket, so to speak.
Right. You got to be like perfect. You can't make any mistakes.
But they're not trapped. Okay. They're not. A guy like Lamar, if the Baltimore Ravens doesn't take Lamar with the 32nd pick and Ozzie Newsome doesn't make him his last draft pick in his career, and Lamar goes to the second or the third round, whoever that is doesn't give him the benefit of the doubt to insert him into the lineup and build a team around him. They would then try to force him to fit into their system, and after 1 or 2 years, he'd be on the streets. Even though he has all his talent, or they would tell him he needs to try another position because they never really invested into him and believed in him.
So that's it's a different problem set than someone like, say, Justin Fields, who they believe in, has classic quarterback skills, the whole thing, and just winds up in a bad situation. There are lots of ways for talented players' careers to go wrong. But what I'm wondering about Is there such a thing, like a unicorn type player, that is of as a guy who is so talented that he can just overcome circumstances, whether it's going to a bad team, whether it's
well, in football,
being drafted late
in basketball.
In football, it depends. In basketball, absolutely, because in basketball, I could put the ball on the floor, and I could back a dude down and dunk on him. And what you gonna say? You're gonna be like, well, we don't have that. Or I could put the ball on the floor and blow past somebody. In football, I rely on 11 people to do their job for me to shine. And what I mean by that 11, I remove the one person, me, the individual, and I rely on the coordinator, the quarterback, the entire offensive line, the running back, the other receivers, the tight end, to do their job so that I can get the football. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It ain't just me.
It's more interdependent. Yeah.
In baseball, if I'm at the plate and he delivers it and I can hit it, it's me. In track, it's me. In tennis, it's me. And in golf, it's me. In football, I need everybody to do their job so that the quarterback can drop back and deliver it to me. The play has to be called for me to do my job. In basketball, I can clean the glass and push it up the court and dunk on somebody.
Yeah. I hear you. I mean, but like realistically, though, even in basketball, like even though young dudes might do their thing, there's been nobody that's been that guy, with the exception of like LeBron, like really moving the needle, Max, as it relates to like by the time he was drafted, you knew what time it was and he actually did it, you know, and I think that's a.
But I do think there's in basketball, even if you're in a bad situation, you can still showcase yourself.
Absolutely.
In a way
100%.
Where in football, you sometimes can't. Because
you
can't. they have to make the decision to get you the ball. They have to block for you.
You need 11 people.
Yeah, it's more dependent upon your teammates.
Can you guys give me some examples of dudes that you think didn't get
Trevor Lawrence right now?
Yeah, but I hear you.
And he has the ball on every he touches the ball every play.
I don't think
and
that's the right kind of example, though, right?
Yeah,
but
I mean,
he won example in Jay? Football or basketball?
No, but he's saying because of football, because of that dudes need to block for you, all that stuff. But Trevor Lawrence had the ball in his hand a ton.
Yeah, but Trevor Lawrence still needed the offensive line to block for him so that he's not somebody sitting in his lap. Or he needed the receivers to run their routes and get open. Or he needed the running back to pick up the blitz. He also needed the offensive coordinator to call the right play.
Like, we can't evaluate Daniel Jones because he's never been blocked for, he's never been coached, he doesn't have anyone to throw to, etc. Even if it's a basketball player on a bad team, you can at least still say, no, he can ball.
See, like in hoops, Jay, like in hoops, you know this. In hoops, we could take a dude like Zach LaVine, or we could take a dude like Westbrook. At UCLA, he get to the pros, them dudes is all stars and everything, max players and everything.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the difference. They can put it in their own hands and hoop.
No,
do whatever they want to do.
Jameson Hensley, ESPN Ravens reporter, is with us. What's going on? Good morning. What, Jameson, what's the latest on the Ravens getting a long-term deal done with Lamar Jackson?
The sides have been talking since June, and that's kind of the one positive you can take from it, because for a long period, you heard Ravens officials, whenever we asked them about Lamar's contract, saying, well, Lamar just doesn't seem motivated or doesn't seem interested in discussing a long-term deal. Well, that changed sometime in June, and the sides have been talking. When last time we talked to Lamar, which is about 2 weeks ago, he didn't want to talk too much about it. He said he wants to keep negotiations, as he said, in-house. But he did add this one point that because he doesn't have an agent, the Ravens have to specifically talk to him. And when the regular season starts, Lamar Jackson doesn't want to talk about contract. He wants to focus on the regular season. So he did mention that there will be a cutting off point at some time where he doesn't want to talk contract, at least for this season.
Jameson, do you think in your mind, in your heart of hearts of covering the Baltimore Ravens, that Lamar Jackson will step on the field for the Baltimore Ravens in week 1 without a deal done?
Yes, because he's pretty – when he didn't attend any of the voluntary workouts, but when everything that he's had to have done, whether it's mandatory minicamp or training camp, he's stepped on the field. He has taken pretty much every single rep with the first team throughout training camp, and – For a player that was even thinking about not stepping on the field in week one, I think he would probably have been doing what they call the hold-in, report to training camp but not participate in any of the drills. Lamar Jackson has been out there every single day in this, what has been some really bad heat here in Baltimore. He has been out there every single day working.
Jameson, obviously seeing where money is going, and obviously you could say that Deshaun Watson is a little bit of an anomaly with $230 million guaranteed, but seeing where Kyler Murray is at $160 million guaranteed, you know that the overall package looks slightly bigger than Deshaun Watson's. Where do you think Lamar Jackson will be price-wise when it's all said and done?
I think that's kind of the real sticking point right now with negotiations, because Lamar Jackson has a legitimate argument to say he should be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he was the unanimous MVP back in 2019. You look at where the Ravens are with Lamar Jackson. I mean, they're one of the winningest teams since 2018. Without Lamar Jackson, they've only won two games without him. So over that period, so Lamar Jackson knows his value and specifically his value to the Ravens. But the Ravens, you saw with Kyler Murray, he did not sign a deal anywhere close to getting the guaranteed money that Deshaun Watson got. And from the Ravens standpoint, they can say, look, Deshaun Watson's contract is more of an outlier. Look at what Kyler Murray, look at the contract he did. So I think that's kind of the sticking point right now. Lamar Jackson, he has a legitimate argument saying he should be paid just like Deshaun Watson. And the Ravens can say, well, you know what? That contract really, even though it set the market for quarterbacks, you're going to see all the other quarterbacks not get as much as Deshaun Watson.
Jameson Hensley, ESPN Ravens reporter with us. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Jameson, last year I thought there were three separate weeks where Lamar Jackson was the best player on earth, right? And he was winning with a team that was really not on the field because they were so destroyed with injuries. And then he got hurt.
Yes.
Is there any sense that, I look at the upcoming season and think if the Ravens just stay healthier, if they're 50% healthier than they were last year where no one was healthy and Lamar stays on the field, they are a real threat. What are the expectations this year?
Oh, the expectations. It's kind of strange because, the Ravens did finish in last place in the AFC North. But before Lamar Jackson got hurt, they had the best record in the AFC. They lost their last six games of the season last year. So when they have Lamar Jackson, they know they're one of the better teams in the AFC. So you hear, the Ravens all throughout training camp saying last season left a really bad taste in their mouth. They feel if they can stay healthy, they can beat anyone out there. And so they have legitimate championship aspirations here. And they understand there's a lot of questions as far as who's going to be catching the ball outside of Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman, who's going to be getting to the quarterback outside of Adafe Owe. But they understand as well when they have Lamar Jackson, who just is one of the most dynamic playmakers in the NFL, he can cover up a lot of weaknesses. So as long as Lamar Jackson and specifically that offensive line stays healthy, they know they can compete with anybody in the NFL.
Jameson Hensley, ESPN Ravens reporter, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. You spoke about being healthy and staying healthy, and the Ravens certainly had their rash of injuries last year, and then they did not stay healthy. That's why they missed the playoffs. How long do you expect to see the starters playing in the preseason?
Not at all. I think after last year in that preseason finale, J.K. Dobbins, their starting running back, he got a season-ending knee injury after playing just one series. And that was the only thing he was supposed to do that game was only the one series. John Harbaugh, I think, is going to be very, very cautious with his headline players. Lamar Jackson is not playing tonight's game against the Tennessee Titans. I did ask John Harbaugh if Lamar is going to play throughout the whole preseason. He said he doesn't want to give out his future plans, but I think everyone would be surprised if you see Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, Marlon Humphrey, any of the big headline players for the Ravens. I don't think they're going to be stepping on the field whatsoever in the preseason. And you've seen that throughout all of training camp with the Ravens, where they have tried to reduce injury risk as much as possible. I think, you know, I've covered every single training camp with John Harbaugh here with the Ravens. This, what I'm seeing right now, it's the fewest full contact drills they've ever had in training camp. And I think they're emphasizing more of the mental aspect of the game. But another reason is they just don't want to get guys hurt. And I think that's for a big, big reason why you won't see Lamar Jackson and a lot of the other starters throughout the entire preseason.
Jameson, obviously I know the AFC as a conference is a beast of a conference, but going to the AFC North in particular as a division, I'm curious, with so much going on, Joe Burrow, you know, Kia and us were talking about this today, like, could they have a hangover considering they had so much success last year early for Joe Burrow, Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson, who knows what the case will be with that. Will they go for Jimmy G, Jacoby Brissett, can he lead Pittsburgh, and obviously Mike Tomlin and Mitchell Trubisky as their captain, their quarterback. Who do you see being the biggest threat to the Ravens in the conference, in the actual division?
Yeah, I think it does come from Ohio, where, you know, as far as the Bengals, I think they need to stay healthy just like they did last year. And I think that's a big, big question mark, where, you know, they won the division, and they were clearly the most talented team in the division, but they were also the most healthiest team. So can they get that luck? Can they sustain that luck of being able to keep their big name players healthy? And then in Cleveland, it's Deshaun Watson. I mean, if he plays games this year, yeah, then I think a lot of people see them as contending for the AFC North title. But if Deshaun Watson misses over half the season, I think that's where a lot of the conversation will be between the Bengals and the Ravens as kind of the AFC North contenders. And so a lot of question marks, and I don't know if we'll get a lot of answers until the regular season starts. But I think when you look at all the divisions in the NFL, I don't know if there's another division, maybe outside the AFC West, where there's three teams as far as the Bengals, Browns, and Ravens, where a lot of people are just, they don't know who's going to win this division. But I think a lot of it comes down to who's the healthiest and who's going to be their quarterback. I think that's where it's going to be determined.
Jameson Hensley, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN Ravens reporter. Thanks, Jameson. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much, guys.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Why one championship team is no longer a contender, according to Keyshawn Johnson. It's after Jay has this from FanDuel.
Start the second half of the baseball season the right way and turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code PLAY. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in match points if you don't win. It's that easy. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now and sign up using promo code PLAY to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And joining us now on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Joining us now is the great Paul Feinbaum from the eponymous Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Paul?
Max, how's everybody doing? Good to be back on the show.
It's good to,
good to have you, man.
What's up, Paulie?
Getting a little football going right now, so we can talk a little college football with you. You and I have talked, you know, quite a bit over the last couple of years about Clemson football program and where it was headed. And I've been kind of assessing it and looking at it over the last 8 years of coordinators, them losing coordinators that played a pivotal part in their recruiting as well. You lost 2-3 on the offensive side and 1 in Brent Venables on the defensive side of the ball. Is Clemson's reign in national championship, as national championship contenders, over with?
It's close, Key. And the only reason I'm cautious is that I think they have a really good team this year based on the ranking. But I think in terms of the dynasty that Dabo Sweeney had, I believe that window is barely open to get enough air to breathe right now. And I've heard you talk about this, and you're right. You know, Elliott Scott on the offensive side, the two coordinators, Venables. And on top of that, I think Dabo Sweeney lost somebody who may be as important to the operation as anyone else, and that's Thad Turnipseed. You may remember that name. He used to be the chief of staff and the director of operations for Nick Saban. He went to Clemson and recreated one of the best-run athletic football operations in the country. And now, guess what? He went with Venables to Oklahoma, and I think that's an equally big hole. So I think the window is almost shut, not completely. I think this year's team against a rather weak ACC has a shot, but there's no room for or margin for error. This isn't like last year when Clemson had the biggest game of the country the first week against Georgia. They really don't have much on their schedule that can get them in the playoffs should they lose a game.
Well, so, Paul, let me ask you about that. So since we're seeing so much happening with conference realignment, and if you're looking at the strength of the ACC and the geographical footprint of Clemson, like just from your fan perspective, Paul, you've been around this game a very long time. Does it behoove Clemson to stay in the ACC, or does it make more sense for them to try to become part of the SEC?
Not only does it make sense for them to get out of the ACC, I think they are trying to get out of the ACC. They'll deny that, and they're welcome to do so. But I strongly believe that Clemson, through intermediaries, is trying to figure out a way to get out and to go to the ACC. And I think ultimately Clemson will be in the SEC because it's perfect for them. They are the quintessential SEC school. They're in South Carolina. They're around the corner from Georgia. They already have South Carolina in the state. And you're going to hear what I'm about to say many, many times in the coming weeks, especially with Big Ten school, with schools outside the Big Ten footprint like Notre Dame. It's going to be difficult in a year or two for Clemson to be able to be bringing in half of what cross-state rival South Carolina is from a television standpoint. Mm-hmm. The numbers just don't add up. And when ESPN eventually – within the next couple of years, takes over the entire SEC contract, South Carolina, who's always perceived as the little brother by Clemson people, will be bringing in twice the football television revenue. I don't think Clemson can stand for that, and it opens the door for other conversations around college football. But it's a big-time program, and it got that way because of a lot of things. But to Dabo Sweeney's credit, he put the staff together. He put the infrastructure together, the facility together. He played the big game against Alabama, against Georgia, against others around the country. He had the advantage of seeing Notre Dame every couple of years, depending on the ACC schedule. And quite frankly, I think most of that, if not all of that, is going to go away. I think ultimately Notre Dame will either, you know, form an alliance with the Big Ten or get into Big Ten. And you can't depend, guys, on Florida State and Miami to hold up their part of the bargain every year. I think Miami is on the road back. I can't tell you about Florida State. Wake Forest and Pittsburgh were the two teams last year that played in the ACC championship game, and I think there are tickets still available for that game.
So, Paul, quickly, based on what you just said, not just in terms of, oh, it makes sense from a certain point of view that Clemson would be in the SEC, but what you just said, it's quintessential SEC school, right? So why would what would stop it, if anything? This is going to happen, right?
I think it will. And, Max, right now what's stopping it is just a very bad contract that the ACC did a couple of years ago, and you might want to turn the volume down with ESPN, because ESPN took them to the cleaners, okay? I mean, it's just the ACC so desperately wanted its own television network, like the Big Ten, like the SEC, and they got it, but they paid for it in the end by making this ridiculously long-term deal that goes into, I think, 2034, and it's called the grant of rights, and it's almost impossible to get out. And part of the reason it was put in, because remember, Maryland left the ACC a number of years ago for the Big Ten, and they weren't going to let that happen again. But ultimately, I think the ACC has to reexamine the position, because while they may keep schools in the league, they're going to be dying on the vine if they don't change something. And they may be better off just letting Clemson go. I think the ACC, Max, missed a moment 2 years ago. Remember, right around this time when college football was in chaos, the Big Ten had just announced it was shutting down, as well as the Pac-12, and Notre Dame was in dire straits. So the ACC allowed Notre Dame to play an ACC play for the ACC conference 2 years ago, and ultimately they played for the championship and got in the playoffs, even though they lost to Clemson in the championship game. They should not have done that. They should have said, Notre Dame, if you want in the ACC,
get in the ACC.
They're already in every sport. Then you're getting in right now. And they missed that moment. And I think Notre Dame's interest in staying in the ACC with that affiliation is very small.
Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, plus the most important thing, number one USC Trojan fan in all of the land, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Paul, Alabama being ranked number one in the coaches' poll, do they deserve being ranked number one even though they lost to Georgia in the national championship?
They do. This is a better team than last year. And I don't want everybody to start laughing about what Nick Saban said last week, because he got very upset when a certain commentator that you're speaking to criticized him for saying it was a rebuilding year. Because Alabama started last season number one. They'll start this season number one. But this is a better team. Bryce Young has much more experience in addition to the Heisman Trophy. So they have the best offensive player. They have the best defensive player by far, Keyshawn. You know that, and Will Anderson Jr.
Yep.
They got a cornerback from LSU who's a top 10 player. They picked up a running back from Georgia Tech named Gibbs, who is going to really stun people. They've got a couple of wide receivers in the portal, one from Georgia, one from Louisville, and they're deeper. They got more experience, and they frankly have a better schedule too. I think they have Texas A&M at home, which is very important. Their big non-conference game is week two at Austin, Texas, and they'll probably beat Texas by 3 touchdowns. So they're in a much better position, and their biggest rival within the league, Georgia, is not going to be as good. I mean, they'll still be highly regarded. They're preseason number 3, but they don't have the best defense I've ever seen, which they did last year.
Wow, I didn't know that Alabama played Texas. Wow, that's certainly going to be a must see. That's going to be must see college football.
Why aren't we there? Let's go.
As long as it stays
it's going to be a big weekend.
As long as it stays a double elimination tournament, it's always good early. Paul Feinbaum. Paul, I know that you have things to do, places to go, people to see.
He has to go get his USC gear.
That's right. The great Paul Feinbaum.
I've got to finish Keyshawn's best-selling book and get my USC gear on Fan Guide or wherever. So, hey, guys, it's always fun. Thanks for remembering me.
We'll talk to you soon,
Thanks for
Paul.
Supporting my book, Paul. Appreciate you. Good job.
Okay.
Well, my book.
Actually, so more copies. Don't do that.
He's referring to Paul might want to read it, you know.
Oh, the fact. Yes. Yes.
Especially in that part of the country that he covers, you know.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Why Rufus. Tua may not be the long-term answer for the Dolphins after Key has this from Granger.
For all the ones who get it done, Granger is here for you. And they're always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support. Experienced staffed at curbside pickup at over 250 local branches. And you can get free access to product specialists ready to help you track down hard-to-find items. Plus, Granger's commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe, clean for all your people by far. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hey!
What are you doing over there, Jay?
Antonio Brown dance.
Over, under, key, how many times do you think it's going to happen this year?
Every single touchdown.
What's that?
Everyone?
The Antonio Brown. Every Antonio single. Brown okay.
Let me, over let me, 50 re, and
let,
a half.
Let me over rephrase it, half? Jay. Let over. Me rephrase it. Not everyone. Every skill position player. Every skill position player that scores a touchdown will be doing it. Huh. Every single one.
Don't yeah. Do sports?
I think. Jay, I think it's going to be at least 50 dudes, and we're going to get at least 3 linemen. Some of them scooping scores from the
yeah,
dudes.
Yeah, you're going to get a couple. You're going to get a couple big fellas that want to play small.
Let's have a bet. I don't think we'll see any tonight, even in preseason. Preseason's going to be easy time, right?
No, you'll see them.
I definitely think we'll see it for preseason because like, some of you guys might.
I say
make,
we see 3 tonight.
Take that bet, Yates.
You think Julio
over under 3?
Think Julio Jones will do it if Tom Brady links him up? You know, you think Julio Jones does it?
He don't really dance like that, so I'm gonna say no.
Yeah,
I think
Chris
Godwin
no, do it.
Yates only plays money where his money.
Think anyone on the Bucks does it?
I already put a parlay in.
Absolutely.
Jay,
so I'm not talking about parlay, Yates. I'm talking about you and me.
Because
three
his issue,
tonight, two games,
loves
I'll take
a parlay,
I'll
and
take
he loses every time.
His but parlays are hard
with
to
Bruce
hit.
Arians, though, his issue is with Bruce Arians, not his teammates.
Right.
See the thing that people got to understand is with certain athletes. They're loved by their community regardless to how you might feel about them. So the support of what he's doing amongst the NFL players community.
Yeah, but he's thrown a lot of players under the bus too, Key.
Nah, but those players didn't, and him didn't see eye to eye anyway. He never rocked with those players.
Well, who did he rock with? It seems he's thrown everyone out of the under the
a
bus.
You saw him doing Mark Ingram doing it at practice.
Yeah.
You
no, I'm Mark not Ingram. Saying they're not going to do the dance. I'm saying – Antonio Brown has thrown people who have supported him, including teammates, under the bus in multiple locations,
yeah, but those teammates he didn't rock with. He didn't rock with Juju Smith. He didn't rock with Ben Roethlisberger. Like, he didn't really – he liked Tom Brady. Tom Brady.
Yeah, but didn't rock.
But he didn't rock with Tom
Who did he
with
rock
Brady.
With that he didn't throw under the bus?
Who did he rock with? I don't know.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone, but, you know.
But I just know how the NFL really community like is. They're going to support you because they understand you better than those that don't support you. That's what I'm saying.
I feel like people have bent over backwards to understand Antonio Brown.
Yeah, nah, you on some journalistic stuff.
I'm telling you the real deal. I'm talking about teammates who support him and everything, and he kind of like, you know,
every
talks
time I met
back.
AB always seemed really chill to me. Like,
me too. He's been he's been very nice.
People that think like him, they gonna support him. A Miami 4 is like a New Jersey 10.
I don't think there's such thing as a Miami 4, to tell you the truth.
I think the numbers start higher. There's some Miami 4s higher. Now. Yeah. You, hey, Max, it's a such thing as some Miami 4s.
Memorial Day weekend?
No, hell no.
Miami
Memorial
has the crown
weekend,
by a lot.
It used to crack in Miami. I'm not going to Miami. Miami's an interesting town.
Miami's a great town. You kind of got to know people, though. You know, like, there's
yeah,
some
know
towns.
Anywhere.
Not like Vegas, you don't really have to know anybody. You get around, have a good time. Miami, you have to know people.
No, you
got to know people everywhere.
No, you don't have to know people.
Well, it always helps to know people.
It helps to know people.
But things are more accessible, let's say, in Vegas than in Miami.
You can get the same thing in Miami.
Naturally,
in Vegas, the same thing except
connected.
Gambling.
What do you mean?
You got to be
more
accessible.
Why?
To get into places, to get around places. It doesn't cater to tourists in the same way that Vegas does.
It's the same thing, Max.
L.A. also, like Miami.
I can get everything in L.A. and Vegas, I can get in Miami.
Yeah, you can get everything, but do you have access to it? L.A.
Right.
L.A.
I got access to – I can get –
We're not talking
got
about
access.
You, Key.
We're talking about the average person. We're not talking
about the average person, you can't have these conversations with us and talk about average people because nobody on this broadcast – is average.
Except for Jay. Jay leads a humble existence.
Thank you, Max. Thank you.
No, we can fake humble and all those sort of things, but we're not going to fool our listeners. They know damn well we're not humble. They know damn well Jay drives a Bentley. It's fine. You worked hard for it.
Excuse me. He is driven in a Bentley. What do you mean drive a Bentley? How dare you?
Oh, driven. That's right. Yes. He's driven in a Bentley, and he has two nannies. It's okay.
I don't.
And those are for him.
You guys
the two
are
nannies
so
are just for him. Then his kids also have nannies.
But
all,
I think what Diana was saying, though, you know, if you got a 7, if you grading that way on looks and people that you are in a relationship with, both male and female, a 7 is pretty damn good because nobody's a 10. I mean, I'm like the closest at a 9.25. So, you know.
You're the closest?
What do you mean?
He said 9.25. He didn't say and a quarter. He said
nine quarter.
Yeah, 9.25.
No, now you're at an and. You didn't say and before. He said 9.
Well,
quarter.
Okay, 9.25. That's
Key's
fast.
He takes out the little words. I like it. It's efficient.
Yeah. Right? I mean, no one's a 10.
Well,
I mean, no
hey, speak
10,
for yourself.
Max. No
yeah,
one
except
a 10.
For Pat Costello.
Key, Miami was so different for me because I lived. I lived in Brickell, right? So
yeah, Brickell downtown.
Downtown. So I would do these ACC Sunday night games, and I would leave sometimes like Sunday morning, like at 5 to catch my flight. And literally, I lived right outside was this club called Space, and then right next to Space was another place called Tootsie's, right? So literally, you would see a line outside at 5 in the morning. I'm talking about the whole block. Waiting to get into Space. And
so let me think. So you was like, should I go call this game or should I go to Tootsie's?
Like, should I skip the game and go directly to Tootsie's?
It is interesting how earlier.
That would be a bad move for your career, Jay.
Yes, it
would.
Earlier, I asked you both, what was your favorite time of life? Like, where did you live? Your favorite time of life, your favorite place to live. And Jay immediately said, between the ages of 24 and 27, he lived on South Beach. And Key immediately said, well, there was this time where he lived in Tampa, but Miami was a hop, skip, and a jump. So, but in both instances, it was about getting to South Beach.
Well, yeah, I spent a lot of time in Miami. A lot of time. Even though we were in Tampa, we'd go up to Miami easy. Just to have dinner
Puddle
and
jump.
Come back for practice the next day.
Yeah.
Puddle jump.
I mean,
it's Miami, man.
Yeah.
It's Miami. You know, I don't know what it's like now, But when I was playing, it was
Miami's the same. It's the same key.
It was different. It was a. It was see.
And it was always.
It's probably burned out now for me, but back then, I caught it right when it was getting nice and ripe. It was green before, but then the colors started to come in around that time.
And it's always the people that live down in Florida full time, like, oh, here you guys go again. Like, that's not where we go. That's not how – it's not the same spot.
Well, I don't have anything to do with them, Jay. That's where I went, right?
It is. People are – like, listen, this is human nature. People like warm weather climbs, right? L.A., Miami, when people speak fondly of locations where they live, frequently you hear L.A. and Miami because it's nice out. Even when it's hot out, but it's still warm out.
Was there a bigger point that you were going to make?
No, just, you know, those are the places. Like, Key talks about L.A. It's always about the weather. And you're talking about Miami.
Because it's going to be about. Of course.
It's, but
I'm actually having breakfast. I'm going to go home, put on my board shorts and stuff, and I'm having breakfast on the beach at 9
o'clock.
Where
are you going?
I'm going to go into Malibu. Meeting. I'm having a meeting. I have a meeting.
Tough life.
In Malibu.
Well, I didn't pick the location. They picked the location. Just said, hey,
Key gives him an option of three different places. One of them is Malibu. The other is like, you know.
No, they said, hey, Santa let's Monica. Do. They yeah. said, no, they said, let's do Malibu at 9. I said, okay, cool. No problem. I'm off. I'll be able to do it.
I could be in the Palisades. I can meet you in Malibu, or I can give him the three options.
I mean, you know what's so messed up about this, though? I can name any city in L.A. and people will be like, see, Malibu, Palisades. Orange County, it's just Pasadena.
No, you can't. A nice try slipping Orange County in there. It's not Malibu or the Palisades.
No, if you go Balboa Island, you go to Laguna, you go to Dana Point, Newport, that's the same thing. It's the same thing.
That's the same thing.
I don't know, something about when you just say Orange County is not the same. But, yeah, if you start breaking it down. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Oh, here comes a long stretch.
Why do you say
a
long stretch?
Surprised you went to that early.
Jay, that's
outrageous. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
And Max.
Became and Max when you guys won the 2-on-2 tournament. We won as a team. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 8. We're back tomorrow, 6 a.m. Eastern. Poof!
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.